Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Wake up to something different on Sunday mornings by joining me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz. The finest in modern jazz, from hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz every Sunday morning at 9 on Sheffield Live. 93.2 FM.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what, I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3, here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best of new indie, electro, EDM and punk, and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7pm here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live. I'm Denise.
I'm Martin.
And you listen to The Film Show.
Hi. And welcome to another show. Good week, Denise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, been busy. I'm here hot foot from being in the same room as Mr. Idris Elba.
Ooh. Oh. Did you say, can you come over and say hello?
Yeah, no. There's lots of other people in the room, I'll be honest.
As one of our top cub reporters on The Film Show, you should have been bustling there to get an interview with him.
Yeah, I was there late, left early.
Idris.
But it was a very interesting part of Doc Fest we'll talk about in a bit.
Went late, left early.
Yeah.
Just like Richie Sunak. Anyway.
I'm not sure I'm really happy about being compared to him at the top of the show.
Sorry,
and I've not even had a coffee.
Shouldn't be talking politics. Right, but this week has been Docfest, and I'm assuming that's what Mr. Elba was there for?
Yes, so it was a National Geographic... It was a panel discussion about a documentary that he is the exec producer on for National Geographic, and he's also the narrator on, and it's telling stories specifically from Second World War, Black American GIs, and how they were treated and how they... Well, the series is called Erased, and it's looking at literally how they went back and they were erased from the story, and it's trying to tell those stories now.
Yeah.
Looks really interesting.
I mean, I find this very interesting because there's sort of like an insidious thing with a lot of modern war films where they put black characters in combat situations where they're fighting side by side with white GIs, and that really wasn't the case for most of the war, wasn't it?
American, they were segregated.
Yeah, yeah.
But they showed a clip from the Black Panther Division, who were, and they showed clips about how they were not celebrated when they came home in the same way as their white counterparts.
Yeah. As you say, they were given, like, I think they were, it was even like an air squadron, the Tuskegee Airmen.
Mm.
And, but it was a very strict segregation, wasn't it?
Between, there was a little clip from the Navy as well, and the segregation in the Navy was much more, you basically, if you're going in the Navy, you are serving.
Yeah.
You are, you know, that those are the jobs that are there for you.
Yeah.
It looks like a fascinating series, and it looks like individual personal testimonies and historians that have unearthed a lot of... Well, one of the points that was made in the clip I saw was that this stuff is all there in the archives, but we don't share it and tell it.
It's stuff that's never been looked for.
Yeah.
And certainly to like the extent it should be.
And it's a deliberate erasure, though, of... Yeah. So there was an account of Black GI when he came home and was like, I hide the uniform now because... It's a status symbol that I am deemed not worthy of having.
Yeah.
It looks like a great series.
Wonderful. Anything else? Or are we going to talk about it later?
We can do a little summary, because I have not seen a lot of Dogfest, but...
I've missed it all completely up until now,
There's a lots of events going on at the Crucible. There was the world premiere of the Blur documentary, To the End, which we'll tie up later on in the programme.
In an immaculately, immaculately unplanned fashion.
And I saw a few clips of that, but I didn't see the whole thing. Mm. But I saw some warm responses to that.
Yeah.
And that is showing, I'll throw in the festival as well. It's a repeat showing tomorrow if anyone wants to catch it at the Light. That looked really good, though. Also, there's... Yeah, there's lots of interesting looking films that I just haven't had time to go and see, so I will catch up with later on. Worth a mention, though, that they will be showing screenings of the best. They always do an audience award at the festival, and international film winner and a debut film winner, and they'll be showing them all tomorrow. On the Monday night, once they've announced them at the end of the festival, they have screenings, repeat screenings of those, and that's worth catching, I think. I'm going to try and do that Monday night.
Well, stay tuned, because we're going to mention just a couple of other films right at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Some which have got some special significance for Sheffield. But on for our next item, maybe a little lighter, but not in my point of view, Trailer Trash.
Yeah!
What have you got for me this week?
I saw this trailer and I thought, Martin's going to love this. It's Paddington in Peru. The trailer landed this week.
The third film.
Paddington 3.
In the trilogy.
It looks a lot of fun. Paddington goes to Peru, does what it says on the tin. But what's there when he gets to Peru but a singing nun in the form of...
Olivia Colman. She gets where Walter can't, doesn't she?
I don't know.
Can this madness stop? She does not have to be in everything.
Does that mean you can't watch Paddington in Peru?
It's going to be difficult, because from that trailer, she looked as though she's in it a lot.
The trailer looks a lot of fun, though.
Oh,
somehow,
it did,
the
yeah.
whole family. But
yeah.
Sally Hawkins is not in this one as the mother this time.
Well, that's one blessing.
Oh, you don't even like Sally.
A little bit of Sally Hawkins can go an awful long way.
Oh, they've taken
way.
Out Sally. I think she's
they've taken out Sally. They got a hitman on the world.
We can't have Olivia and Sally in the same film, because Martin will explode. Just the one, please.
but he did say he's not out until November, so I've got some time to try and get some psychiatric help.
But I mean, Paddington, the first two Paddington films are so good, aren't they? Technically, they're enjoyable.
I've got to admit,
for kids
and
adults, and really enjoyable.
And we were only talking about that last week with the sad death of Jeanette Charles, you know, and the fact that she didn't get to play the Queen with Paddington.
Oh.
I'm surprised he didn't get Olivia Colman in for that. She's played the Queen once before, hasn't she?
Yeah. Well, she's played everyone because she's in everything.
she was in that as well.
Talking of sad news, though, very sad.
Very bad news in my book. I'm going to let that resonate for a bit. This week saw the sad passing of one of my favourite singers, the French ingénue, the gamine Françoise Hardy, who during the 60s was an international fashion icon, pop star, and popped up in a number of films, not often for very long. I think one of the films she's in the most is John Frankenheimer's Grand Prix, where she's playing like an early version of a wag, but for a top Formula One driver. But she's marvellous in it. She's marvellous. So she carried on recording. She didn't really like the 1960s. At the end of the 1960s, she gives up performing live. She carries on making music, but sort of turns her back on all of that showbizzy stuff. And she had been... Bob Dylan wanted to marry her. Mick Jagger was in love with her. David Bowie was absolutely heartbroken that she wouldn't marry him. She was eventually married to the French actor and singer Jacques Dutronc. Mm. And although they separated in the 90s, they remained friends, and she had a son with Dutronc, and right up to the end of her life, they were still very, very close. I think she's just a wonderful, wonderful singer, and you've probably seen lots of photos of her, but if you don't know of her, you might not realise that she was this... she almost like encapsulated the 1960s from a fashion point of view.
Yeah, I suppose not knowing her very well, I know some of the songs.
Yeah.
But not knowing her very well, it just strikes me that she seems like an icon in the way Twiggy is in British 60s.
And like she had this very simple way of dressing. And when you see photos of her, you can't always think, well, when was that photo taken? Mm. She had a very, very strong fashion ethic. So we are going to be playing a selection of tunes by Françoise this week. And I'm going to start off with the song that first brought her to fame. I'm going to do this in your pronunciation here. Watch this. Tous les garçons et les filles. Which I think means... all the girls, all the boys and girls.
Oh, another Blur reference.
Yes. Spooky, this, isn't it? And anyway, so this is our first song from Françoise Hardy for this week.
Tous les garçons et les filles de mon âge se promènent dans la rue de par deux. Tous les garçons et les filles de mon âge savent bien ce que c'est qu'être heureux. Et les yeux dans les yeux, et la main dans la main, ils s'en vont amoureux, sans peur du lendemain. Oui, mais moi, je vais seul par les rues, l'âme en peine. Oui, mais moi, je vais seul. Personne ne m'aime. Mes jours comme mes nuits sont en tout point pareils, sans joie et plein d'ennuis. Personne des projets d'avenir. Tous les garçons et les filles de mon âge savent très bien ce qu'aimer veut dire. Et les yeux dans les yeux, et la main dans la main, ils s'en vont amoureux, sans peur du lendemain. Oui, mais moi, je vais seul par les rues, l'âme en peine. Oui, mais moi, je vais seul, car personne ne m'aime. comme les garçons et les filles de mon âge. Je me demande quand viendra le jour où les yeux dans ses yeux et la main dans sa main, j'aurai le cœur heureux sans peur du lendemain. Le jour où je n'aurai plus du tout l'âme en peine, le jour où moi aussi j'aurai quelqu'un qui m'aime.
And to you.
And to me. Oh, you listen no, to me, the film to show on Sheffield Live. I'm Denise and this is Martin.
Hi.
We're on, yeah, we're on digital and online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll leave there it at that.
All the boys and girls, Francois Hardy, your first on your playlist of four Francois Hardy songs this week.
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 Right. So, it's about middle of the year. Time yes. for us to reflect.
Yes, we love a list, don't we?
And we you love can a tell list. We can pad a list out to yeah. do half the show, can't
well,
we?
Well, you can tell we're half of the year. Look out the window, isn't it glorious sunshine in June? It must be towards the end of June, right? So the Guardian printed a films of the year so far list.
Yeah.
And we would like to
There's
chat.
A few omissions we thought there. And
yeah.
And some which I thought they'd overrated a bit as well.
Yeah, but, as is always the way with these lists, but I like having a chat about them.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
glad to see, obviously, my favourites recently, La Chimera and The Beast. We've gone on about them enough, haven't we? You know, they're brilliant. Let's leave it at that. But at least they're on there. The Delinquents is on there. Did you see The Delinquents?
No.
It was rather good. I like the description. If Pedro Almodovar and Eric Roma teamed up to comprise a meandering long crime caper, that I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, yeah. Very good. Not on the list, though. I can't see Civil War on there. I think that's a bit harsh.
Well, that was the one I thought was a glaring omission, because I would certainly put that in my top three, because yeah. I was... I must admit, it was difficult put it down to three. I think we've between us seen quite a few good films this year, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. And
a couple of stinkers.
Yeah,
but
we were saying as well at the before we came on air that I was like, Zone of Interest and Poor Things and Holdovers was January here.
Yeah.
But because they were like Oscar released elsewhere earlier and they're Oscars this year, I've sort of put them to last year. But we started off with a real... high, and they were this year, weren't they?
Yeah, so, yeah. yeah. I remember just being stunned by Zone of Interest, and it's on Netflix, isn't it now? But I can't bring myself to watch it at home. It just doesn't seem right watch it in a domestic situation.
That's so funny. There's some films that I can't face watching because of the subject matter. I was talking to one of the Docfest volunteers about this yesterday about something called Atomic People, that is the film, it's testimonies of survivors of Japan's, the atomic bombs in Japan. And I will go and watch something if it's on a festival or if it's at the cinema and I've got to go now and then that's when I'm watching it. But if I'm watching it at home, I'm like, oh, I've got to decide I'm going to watch that myself. No one's going to program it and make me watch it.
Yeah.
I'll leave that till later.
Yeah,
but I can get the intensity in a cinema to watch it. But yeah, I'm like that with, you know, that, well, who's that director that did Culloden and...
Peter Watkins.
Yeah. And War Game. Is it War, what's it called?
The War Game.
The War Game.
Yeah.
I bought the DVD of that ages ago, the Blu-ray of that ages ago, and I watched Culloden, loved it, which is, for those that don't know, it's filmed as if it's a documentary. But it's Culloden, the Battle of Culloden.
Which is about 1745 or something, wasn't it?
About that, century, whatever. I really love that, but I can't bring myself to watch The War Game, even though...
I must admit, The War Game is very upsetting.
Yeah.
I mean, and both of those films were made quite literally for tuppence, ain't they? I mean, Culloden, I don't think they had more than 30 extras.
Yeah, it's so
That's
good,
extraordinary,
yeah.
isn't it? And I think The War Game, they used, it was all, you know, volunteer actors and that, and it was shot around Canterbury, but you know, the when the bomb goes off, the film just goes silent and it goes over, the film goes overexposed, and that's it. You know, there's no mushroom clouds and winds blowing houses down or anything. But it's extraordinarily powerful and very, very upsetting. Yeah. So it's because for many years you couldn't see it.
Yes, exactly. And and I know that it sort of really affected his career as well. Did he end up in France?
He did a lot of stuff in France. He made one film. He made one properly sort of financed feature film, Privilege, that was, with Paul Jones playing a pop singer who was leading like a far-right party in Britain. It's very good.
Yeah.
A bit like Holly Valance, I think.
I've taken us on a right other alley there, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah, sorry, we're going to come back. We were talking about... This is what you do to me.
I know, but it's
goad me.
It's Dockfest weekend, it's all right.
So back to this year, if you would, please.
Yes. Well, Civil War, we said, didn't we? Not on there. Can this be another week where I say The Fall Guy is a brilliant film? Why isn't it on this list?
What film was that, Denise?
The Fall Guy.
Oh, really? Have you been to see it?
I'm the Unknown Stuntman. Only twice so far. But yeah, it's. I think you can stream it now, and I just go into the cinema and watch it. It's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
But that's not on here. And I think when you've got things on this list, like. So The Hitman, which I do rate as well.
Oh, I watched that on Netflix the other.
Yeah. Did you like it?
No.
Was it too contrived?
I lost interest, and I didn't like that actor, Glenn Powell.
Oh, didn't you?
No. He's in that Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling, you could be standing next to me at a bus stop and I wouldn't know you were a Hollywood
actor.
Don't
listen to him, Ryan. Either Ryan's.
Completely, utterly bland looking.
Oh,
and in The Hitman, there's a guy who says to him, isn't it? You're just one of those bland-looking, good-looking guys. And I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
That's so spot on. I can't even remember what he looked like.
I found it a little bit more entertaining than you, I think. But putting it in a list above Fall Guy, I'm a bit like, well, I don't know why you do that and not... Yeah. But Furiosa's on there. You enjoyed that a lot.
I did, yeah. Because I was thinking, do I have like an action film, which I think just ever so slightly, I'd put Civil War ahead of it.
Mm.
Because Civil War took me by surprise, let's say. Just how much mayhem they conjured up out of it. And it had Bad Jesse in.
Bad Jesse. Cover star of this month's Little White Lies I'm holding in my hand. Beautiful Bad Jesse.
Story online. He's been taking those Keep Slim drugs to lose all that weight. He's looking positively ill now.
Oh.
He says he's been doing that fasting diet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Bad Jesse.
Oh, bad. Bad drugs, Jesse. No, don't believe it.
I'm disappointed in you, Jesse. But it's not me you've let down, Jesse.
There's some on the
it's
list.
It's not your audience.
Oh, Jesse.
It's yourself, Jesse, you've let down.
There's some on the list that I haven't seen yet that I'd quite like to catch. One of them is that documentary. Is it COPA 71? The documentary about the treatment of women's football after the Mexico 71 World Cup. That looked interesting. I'm on a documentary mode, I think. That's
well, you will
is.
Be this week, and then next week you'll be back to seeing
back
the Fall Guy.
Back to the Fall Guy, yeah. Was there anything on there that I hadn't heard of, though? I think
I'd heard of everything. I'd have to put Corriere's Monster down as one of my favourites.
Yeah.
And it's a film I haven't been able to watch
broke
again.
Broke you, didn't it?
Because it did, and I could sit and I can think about it, and I start getting upset. So I've got to stop thinking about it. I'm just going to say that's on my list, and I don't want to say anymore.
And leave it there.
Leaving it there.
Samsara. I don't know Samsara, which is set in Laos and Zanzibar. I don't know that at all. That must have passed me by. I might have to give that a look.
Mm. Now, I'm not going to say anything else about The Beast because we've droned on about that for too long.
We did that last week and the week
before.
It's great.
I was thinking I thought back and thought how great the teacher's lounge was.
Oh, yeah.
And that really took me by surprise because it wasn't what I was expecting.
Mm. This was the German film with the teacher who is trying to, there's a minor theft going on and it all unravels,
everything spirals out of control, doesn't it? And it was one of those films where, I don't know, but certainly for me at the end of it, I didn't know who I could sympathise with, who I could trust, who I even believed in certain points. And it was a great thing for sort of just throwing things at you that took you completely by surprise.
Yeah.
And it was a great performance from both the adults and the kids in it. It's a terrific, terrific film.
There's another one in here I didn't know about, Blackbird, Blackbird, Blackberry, which looks Elaine Navarrione directing. Oh, do you know why I wouldn't have heard of it? It's the story of a middle-aged single woman in a remote Georgian village. Who's going to promote that to me? You don't need to hear about middle-aged women, Denise. Right, yeah, that looks interesting. I might
in a remote that. Village, yeah. Yeah. I think that mum might cut a little too close to home.
Get out. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm only 21.
Oh!
The Horde gets a mention as well, which we reviewed the other week. Was a very good British film. Luna Carmoon's film, Horde, about grief of a working class girl.
Yeah.
Who'd lost her mother when she was very young. That was really good.
Is there anything old that you've watched this year? You know, just through like an old movie that you hadn't seen before or anything like that.
I did some re-watching. I think because we were talking about war in Europe the other week, I watched some films that I had seen before but a long time ago. So I watched like Rules of the Game, which I hadn't seen for years, which I know is not technically a war film, but it was like filmed in 1939 when you could feel it coming kind of thing.
Mm.
I don't know about watching anything new that I hadn't seen before, old that I hadn't seen before. How about you?
I've sort of finally caught up on one old film, and I think I'd seen it absolutely years ago on Channel 4, and I'd recorded it. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
On a VHS.
Yeah. Betamax, please. And it was a film by a director I really like called Alan Rudolph, who did a lot of work with Robert Altman at the start of his career and went on to make a number of these sort of quite strange, quirky films that are all about relationships. But this one had, it's called Remember My Name, and it's got Geraldine Chaplin in.
Oh.
And it's about this woman who comes out of prison and she starts stalking this guy who she was with before she went into prison. You don't know anything about what their relationship was or what she went into prison for. And Anthony Perkins is, as you will find out, her ex-husband. And she gets a job in the same town as him, and she's following him about, going around his house when there's no one in the house, and he's remarried and that. And her performance is just so totally, it's unbelievable when play, because you think, oh, she's going to be all... And she's punching people out and she's sticking pencils in people's chests. And it's like she's this ball of fury and rage. But it's all like very, very suppressed. And she's also very, very calculated on how she takes her revenge on him, as you will find out
like,
as the film goes
sounds
on.
Sounds like Denise Catnip, that.
Yes. I think you can probably get it on... I think I got it through Amazon. But I think you might like it.
Yeah, it sounds like... What, woman goes and causes carnage in revenge for
being
slighted?
It's not
as much
carnage as what she thinks. And it's got this amazing blues score of this... Not by William Shatner, unfortunately. It's this old blues singer. And she's singing a number of these ballads throughout the film, which are really, really evocative. So... I can see you're writing that down. Ignore what he just said.
That's my shopping list. I don't know what you're talking about. I just remember it from these spuds.
Carrots. Edamame beans.
I've got a range of meat.
That's me. So I'm not going to offer anything else. As you're treating me with contempt today.
I'm not sure about anything I've rediscovered or seen for the first time that's old. No.
It's been a good year, isn't it, so far?
There have been some really, really cracking new films. Perfect Days isn't in this list either, which was the Wim Wenders Japanese film. I think so. Pretty sure I only watched it in like March. So
you're right. Are we winding that one up?
Yeah.
You're exhausted from aren't you?
That's the thing about films come out so quickly now on streaming that you can actually see loads of them if they're not in the cinema. Fairly quickly online.
I think there's a few coming out over the next week that we've mentioned. Right, so back to Françoise Hardy, and this one of her most plaintive and heartfelt numbers, I think. And in the film Eight Women, Isabelle Huppert sang this one. That's worth going out to see.
Au bout du téléphone, il y a votre voix, et il y a les mots que je ne dirai pas. Tous ces mots qui font peur quand ils ne font pas rire, qui sont dans trop de films, de chansons et de livres. Je voudrais vous les dire et je voudrais les vivre. Je ne le ferai pas. Je veux, je ne peux pas. Je suis seule à crever et je sais où vous êtes. J'arrive, attendez-moi, nous allons nous connaître. Préparez votre temps, pour vous j'ai tout le mien. Je voudrais arriver, je reste, je me déteste. Je n'arriverai pas, je veux, je ne peux pas. Je devrais vous parler, je devrais arriver. Où je devrais dormir. J'ai peur que tu sois sourd, j'ai peur que tu sois lâche. J'ai peur d'être indiscrète. Je ne peux pas vous dire que je t'aime, peut-être. Mais si tu crois un jour que tu m'aimes, ne crois pas que tes souvenirs me gênent. Écoute. Cours jusqu'à perdre haleine, viens me retrouver. Si tu crois un jour que tu m'aimes, et si ce jour-là tu as de la peine à trouver où tous ces chemins te mènent, viens me retrouver. Si le dégoût de la vie vient en toi, la paresse de la vie s'installe en toi. Pense à moi, pense à moi. Mais si tu crois un jour que tu m'aimes, ne le considère pas comme un problème. Et cours, et cours jusqu'à perdre haleine. Viens me retrouver. Tu crois un jour que tu m'aimes, n'attends pas un jour, pas une semaine, car tu ne sais pas où la vie t'amène. Viens me retrouver. Si le dégoût de la vie vient en toi, si la paresse de la vie s'installe en toi, pense à moi. Moi. Mais si tu
This is the film show on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, digital and online. And that was Message Personnel by Françoise Hardy, who sadly passed away earlier this week. Right, we've got a bit of a mishmash of reviews here because we haven't gone to see much, and not much has come out, has it?
I've literally not got out much because I've been sort of working a lot, but I did go and see a world premiere this week, which I'll mention in a bit. But The Boys
are back.
Yeah, The Boys are back on Prime. That doesn't really quite scan, does it? But The Boys are back on Prime, season 4. Now, I've got to give a review for the first episode without revealing what happens in series 3, because you're at the beginning of series 3, practically, aren't
you? I'm just at the beginning.
They're only 8 episodes long. It's not like the old days when it was 24
episodes. What are you telling me to get on with it,
episodes.
Are you?
No, but I always found that a bit...
I'm holding up your review, am I?
No, American TV series.
Oh, when I go for 12...
So long, I'm like, oh.
I'll tell you what are the worst for that. Korean series. 16, 18 episodes.
No, the worst is 24, because...
It's 24, and you're...
I remember when they got to the end of... And we're doing season 2, and I was like, what, you mean I'm going to be actually spending 48 hours? What? No. Can't do it. Yeah, so
you've trumped me there.
Much more manageable chunk of eight or so episodes, I think. So the first 3 of this series have landed on Prime this week, I think Wednesday, and then I think they'll be releasing them 1 a week. Old school. Now I've got to.
Look, do you want me to take these headphones off?
No, the thing that you enjoy about The Boys. I don't remember plot very well in series, so I had to watch the end of series 3 again before I'd watched it last year.
I do that every time I start another season because, you know, it's just been a year or more.
What? Who's he? What's his special power? But Carl Urban is back, Billy Butcher, swearing just as profusely.
He don't swear like a Cockney. It's a terrible Cockney accent.
With the most... I think deliberately bad Cockney accent you've ever seen on screen.
Yeah.
Jack Quaid still there as Huey, the hapless...
whatever it is he does.
Isn't it? Yeah, exactly. And then you've got Annie January as well. And the bleakest, meanest superhero, Homelander, is still incredibly bleak. And incredibly, it's going through a bit of a midlife crisis in this.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
In this season. But if you can imagine someone with all the power in the universe going through a midlife crisis, that's not a safe place for everybody else round. It is just as packed with action. Some of the most violent scenes that happened within the first 10 minutes. I was like, oh yeah, The Boys is back and it's just the same. Possibly better.
I must say, there's been a couple of times where I've actually gasped at the violence level. You can't do that.
There's a bit where a character that you don't know has superpowers, and their face, just tendrils come out of their face all of a sudden. You're like, oh, okay. And then someone's arm gets ripped off, just like that. within 10 minutes, I think someone's arms got ripped off and 2 people have jumped out of a window from the 8th floor and smashed on the ground. It's
business as usual.
It's business as usual. It's terrific stuff. It's in, for me, it's in one ear and out the other, like,
yeah.
But very enjoyable when you're watching it.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I'd only finished watching season 1 a couple of weeks before I started watching season 2. But I had to go back and watch the last one of season 1. What on earth was happening?
There's some quite convoluted plots in there, but it doesn't really matter. And it's only when I... they showed a clip. Have you got to the bit with the octopus yet? Do you know what that... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten all about that. And I was like... And then when they mentioned the octopus, I was like, oh, how could I forget that? That was disgusting. If you haven't seen it...
No.
Wait for the octopus. So, yeah, my rating of that is very enjoyable. Just great stuff. They know what they're doing.
Okay, I've a rave from the grave. It's been re-released this week. The 50th anniversary of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And you can catch, I think they've got it on one screening every evening this week at the Light. You'll have to check times. I'm not going to read them out to you. But the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, possibly one of the most notorious horror films of all time. Is it even a horror film? There's nothing supernatural in it. And in 1974, this film caused a complete outrage. It was made for less than $150,000, went on to gross nearly $40 million theatrical in the United States before being unleashed internationally. And it's based on the serial killer Ed Gein. And his story has been adapted for it to be this inbred mutant family out in the wilds of Texas, who in their spare time disinter graves and leave the bodies in sort of weird positions. And then there's a hint of cannibalism to all this. It's a house that is beyond nightmare. Just when you think it's got as you've gone beyond how you could be offended, something else happens. But of course, the bad boy of the house is Leatherface, played by Gunnar Hansen, a chainsaw wielding maniac with a full face mask made of his victim's skin. Now, there is something about this film, though, which I don't think it's lost any of its power. Mm. There's hardly any blood or gore in it.
Is and most of big what, screaming.
That's the thing. Mm. It's what we even starts off with this horrible sort of sonic soundscape. Hello, Maymay. Soundscape. And that goes all the way through the film. It's a very, very disconcerting sound all the time. And certainly for the last third, it's just Marilyn Burns screaming while she's being chased by a big man with a chainsaw. But as I say, I don't think it's lost any of its power. If you've never seen it, you really need to.
I have never seen the Texas Chainsaw.
That's one. That's one evening this week sorted for you.
I think I'm too scared. I watch a lot of bad stuff, but
I mean, I find it very, very disconcerting.
From what I've seen a lot of clips of it, and obviously I've studied bits about it, and I've just never brought myself to watch it because it feels, watching it, even the clips that I've seen, it feels a bit too real.
And I think that is what it's about. You know, it takes place in this sort of grimy flatlands out in the middle of nowhere in Texas. It's unbearably hot. You're uncomfortable physically all the way through the film, and it's an experience, I think, to watch it.
And
you only need to see it once.
Yeah,
you know?
And I know so many people that love it as well. And I worry about them.
I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I can say I would love it, but you know, I can appreciate its power. So if you've never seen it, go along and you'll have an experience. You don't get any more in the cinema. I'm done.
Yeah, okay. Well, I went to see a riveting documentary this week, world premiere, opening up the DocFest festival. I just said that, classic. That's like saying bao buns, bun bun. DocFest festival, yeah. Opened DocFest on Wednesday night. It was Klitschko, More Than a Fight. So this is the new documentary that's going to be on Sky, I think. They haven't set a date, but it sounds like July, August on Sky documentaries. So this is Kevin MacDonald's new film, literally brand new. They were still in the editing suite the Friday before it was screened, according to the post-show discussion. Of course, Kevin MacDonald also directed Touching the Void and One Day in September.
He did, yeah.
One Day in September was an Oscar-winning documentary. This is a very, very interesting... So for those that don't know, and I'm not... My sport is cricket, bit of tennis, and the Olympics for, you know, every 4 years when it's on. I'm not really bothered about much sport. And boxing is one that I actively dislike. I can't watch it. I've never watched Raging Bull because I don't like all of the fighting.
Yeah.
It's just something that Yeah. So there is, so the Klitschko brothers, obviously very, very world famous heavyweight boxers from Ukraine. And Vitaly and his brother Vladimir. So Vitaly retired in about 2013 and in 2014 became mayor of Kyiv. And of course, he has been mayor since. And this documentary started out as a way of just following him around, seeing what he does. And then according to the discussion as well, Kevin McDonald was like, well, this is actually quite, it's a bit dull. Because he just goes to a lot of meetings and goes to meet people and, you know, press conferences. And actually what they've come up with instead is something that merges that with a real dive into his archive and his history and his family history. And there's interviews with like his ex-partner and children and his brother. And there's also footage of and a fascinating bad relationship with President Zelensky. Now, when he first became mayor,
both of them,
Zelensky was a comedian on TV, and he was regularly ripping the mick out of Klitschko on telly.
Yeah.
But he got in as mayor on an anti-corruption, pro-European ticket kind of thing. And what you get the sense of in this film is that he is... It's almost been done in sort of in a propaganda way as well, of like, look how good this guy is. Mm. Look how simple he is, and look how dedicated he is at the expense of his own personal happiness. And I don't think it's like an Oscar bait like One Day in September is. But it's a fascinating watch, and he is a fascinating subject. Really, really interesting viewing.
So one to look out for.
Yeah, and I think it should be on Sky Documentaries in over the summer. Okay. I've announced a date yet.
Okay. Well, let's go back to Mademoiselle Hardy. And this is maybe her most well-known song. Come on to Dear Adieu. To Tia Adieu by Françoise Hardy there. This is the film show on Sheffield Live.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. After, oh no, we're all right. I think we're still right with Bonjour, aren't we?
Yeah.
What's on next week? One big film starting everywhere, aren't there, next week? Next week's big release. The Bike Riders. Which is a sort of Hell's Angels movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it. Jodie Cromer, how does this say? Jodie Cromer's in that, isn't she?
Yeah. And Tom Hardy.
Austin
Butler.
Ooh. Is he still speaking like Elvis Presley?
I don't know. Thank you very much. Was he in June?
He couldn't get rid of the voice, could he?
Paul Atreides, yeah.
I'm riding the bike.
But it's directed by a director I really, really rate, Jeff Nichols.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the most interesting American, sort of mainstreamish, but still a bit. He started out in indie stuff, who makes some astonishing movies, such as Shotgun Stories was the first one of his that I saw,
yeah.
And that was really interesting. And he did Mud with Matthew McConaughey, which all of them can have a sort of like setting, sort of quite isolated and quite often rural locations. But he does some really, he can pull some really strange stuff out of these everyday situations. And I think I've already got great hopes for this, so I hope I'm not going to be disappointed when we talk next week.
Wow, go to a big screen and watch it. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
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 I'm looking forward to Green Border, which is out on Friday. Agnieszka Holland. Now, I don't think she's made a film for some time, but Europa was about, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. This looks fascinating. It looks like a black and white, and like refugees at borders being taken advantage of and used as pawns by other people, basically. It looks gripping and exciting. I'm going to catch that on Friday if I can.
Yep, but I've seen a few of her films, and she did that Mr. Jones a few years ago.
Oh right,
yeah. So just very briefly calling that up.
Was that with your man James Norton? Was that English language?
It was, yes.
Yeah. That was the Russia.
And she's been working a lot. She recorded. She directed a couple of episodes of Treme, Rosemary's Baby, the TV story, The Affair.
Well, that looks meaty, this one. Yeah.
No, she's been busy. She directed a couple of episodes of The Wire.
Well, that was a while ago.
Well, she's been keeping herself busy, I'm saying. Maybe she needed a rest. No, I do.
What's the big screen that you wanted to talk about, though, which ties into Dockfest a bit as well?
Strike and Uncivil War, which is a documentary about the events that took place 40 years ago this week at Orgreave. Which, of course, are things that are still great controversy and still cause a great deal of bitterness with the communities involved. Mm. It's directed by Dan Gordon, who we actually had on the show a couple of times last time we were on, who has done a lot of documentaries around sport. He also did an astonishing documentary on the Hillsborough disaster. And I think they showed it on BBC once, and then they weren't allowed to show it anymore because of the various inquiries and inquests that were on. But he's going to be doing a Q&A for it, isn't he?
I think that's tomorrow morning at the Crucible Theatre, 10:30.
But then the film itself is then on is on at the Light, isn't it?
Showroom. Well, oh, sorry. The showroom's doing one screening as part of Dockfest, but then it's on at the Light all week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of opportunities to catch that. I just thought it'd be one of those films, obviously, we have a lot of resonance with people living.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you go to those Dockfest screenings, when there's a local, deeply political angle like that in it as well, you see the audience is not just your usual Dockfest industry delegates. It is people that have come to...
And there'll be people there who were there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that could make an interesting Sunday morning, actually. Might get up for that.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, there's loads, but lots of re-releases and whatever at the Light. Got American Psycho. If you've never seen that at the cinema, that might be fun. That's on a couple of
It might be fun.
Nights. It might be fun, yeah. Says the woman that won't go and see Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I feel like American Psycho is panto.
It's axes, horror. It's not chainsaws.
Yeah, I can take an axe, not a chainsaw. Yeah,
okay.
For Doctor Who fans, for those TV fans that are... Because Inside Number 9 finished this week with the last one. But Doctor Who is approaching the end of its new series and they're doing a screening at the Light at 11 p.m. And so you get to...
Next Friday,
Friday the 21st. So it lands on iPlayer at midnight and then they're doing the two episodes at the Light so that 12 o'clock you could be watching it in a cinema if you want, if that's your kind of thing. And it is some people's.
Can I get onto our final track so we can wrap it up with or have we missed anything?
No, I think that's a lot.
Is our final track from Françoise Hardy and pulling all the show back together, I think, in a nice little... this is her and the track is The End, or La Comédie, and it's her accompanied by Blur.
One of my favourite Blur songs.
So have a lovely weekend and we'll be back next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.